How many promises have been made to you this week? We are often so inundated with amazing deals and fantastic must-have buys, especially on the run-up to Christmas, and no more so than on Black Friday, of course, that we recently had. Black Friday promises to have the best deals of the year. However, consumer watchdog Which? Actually did some research into last year's Black Friday, looking at sale prices 6 months before and 6 months after Black Friday, and they found that 87% of the Black Friday deals were available at the same price or even cheaper at other points in the year. So promises are not always what they seem. Sometimes it feels like promises made to us can be increasingly cynical. Apparently, there's only 8% of us who keep our New Year's resolutions. We hear many, many promises from politicians. Some research has shown that in 1945, Labour in their manifesto made 18 promises. In 2010, the Conservatives made a whopping 550 promises to us in their manifesto. And I wonder how many of those we truly feel have been kept. Another sad example, of course, is the promise we make in marriage. We know now that about 40% of marriages end in divorce. And I'm not saying this to judge, but rather just to point out that even from the seemingly trivial resolution through to the promises made that shape our politics and our society, and to those really profound personal promises, sacred promises that we make in marriage, we really do struggle to keep them. It's not easy. So this increase in manifesto promises made me think maybe we're looking for more certainty. Maybe we need more accountability, more reassurance. And that's unsurprising in a world that's more filled with fear. Whilst preparing for today, I came across this organisation called Because I Said I Would. And they talk about why it is that promises are so important. They describe themselves as a social movement, a non-profit organisation dedicated to the betterment of humanity through promises made and crucially kept. They work through community pledge groups. They produce individual cards saying, because I said I would, where you can write down your own promises. And they also provide education in schools. They argue that breaking a promise goes far beyond that feeling of guilt and disappointment and sadness. It's actually, they say, a humanitarian crisis where we find a society that's no longer able to make promises or keep them. What promises maybe have you made that you haven't kept? Perhaps they've seemed trivial at first, but what are the more far-reaching consequences? I really found this organisation very interesting and inspiring, and I urge you to go and look them up if you've not heard of them. They've got a great introductory YouTube video. Yes, I do use YouTube and social media quite a lot for these talks. Promises are vital in sustaining us. They guide us. They keep us relating to one another in a meaningful and loving way. I particularly like Proverbs 13, verse 12, which says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So despite this incredible power and meaning behind a promise, despite it being built into our everyday lives, in favours, in things we do for others, in our marriages, why is it that we seem to be so bad at keeping them? The founder of Because I Said I Would, in yet another YouTube video, spells out some of the reasons why he believes it's hard for us to keep promises. He has three key reasons. Firstly, he says we just talk a lot. Apparently, one study suggests we speak around 15,900 words a day, and obviously that depends on your setting. But that's a lot of words. Many of those words are forward-looking. Many of those words are quite vague, and many of those words hold us accountable for things that we really aren't ever going to do. I promise I'll get up every morning at 6:30 and go to the gym before I go to work. Oh, maybe. Secondly, he talks about our memory. that actually we haven't got a very fantastic memory. Humans have evolved to have a memory that isn't very good at detail at all. So again, we don't know the things we've said sometimes. They're quite vague, and we can't really remember if we've kept true to them. Thirdly, he talks about something that I think that we can all probably relate to, and that is quite simply a loss of motivation. God spells out to us in his manifesto pledges, in Jeremiah, a promise that will be fulfilled in the birth and death of Jesus. We also hear about another promise, one that we live in the knowledge of, but of course sometimes we will doubt it. And that is the promise of eternal life. The Bible is absolutely filled with affirmations and God's promises. It would be quite impossible for me to here trace them all, right from Adam and Eve through to Revelations, because I don't have the time and, quite frankly, I don't have the knowledge. But what I can see is these promises boil down to the sense that God's plan is designed to bring glory to himself and blessings to us. He's making promises as part of his plan to bring glory to himself and blessings to all of us. We've heard two great promises today. The promise of the Lord, our righteous Saviour, and the promise of both judgment and eternal life. So I was wondering, if we know that promises are so hard to keep, how is it that God is able to keep all these promises, some of them so enormous and uncomprehendable, that it would just seem impossible to not lose motivation, to have a plan for it? Let's look again at what Alex Sheen says about how we keep promises. He says, first of all, what we need to do is we need to tie ourselves to these promises, make them meaningful in some way. I believe that God's done that by tying himself to us in the image of him as our Father. He is unconditionally loving and compassionate towards us. Yes, his promises are designed to bring glory to himself, but in doing so, he wants his children, us, to flourish. Just as parents work so hard to ensure a better future for their children, so God has devoted himself to loving and bettering the world that we inhabit. Secondly, Alex says we need to have a specific plan. God has clearly mapped out a plan, and as Sarah said, this is day one of the plan that we follow through our worship calendar. We see that God has had the intention from day one. In our Advent reflection that was written yesterday, we heard the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." This verse reminds us that God has been creating this world according to his image, and each promise that he makes is bringing us closer to him. Lastly, Alex says we need to write our promises down. The little cards he makes saying, "Because I said I would," that's our version of that. God's version of that is in the Bible. Cherry spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, I think, about the importance of the Bible and the words that God has written down to hold him accountable to his plan, but also in the stories in the Bible to help us to understand what his vision is. I think there's something that Alex misses when he talks about these things. So he's talking about tying us to our promises. He's talking about having a plan, and he's talking about writing it down. But I think he's missing that we need support from others. We cannot do this on our own. Examples of this are in organizations like AA or Weight Watchers, where people come together in order to reach some promise they've made themselves. Likewise, God's plan will not work if he tries to do it alone. We meet many characters in the Bible who evangelize, prophesize, and sacrifice all in the efforts to keep to God's plan. We all have a part to play in God's ongoing plan. In the reading from Luke, we hear details of the plan yet to come. I'm not particularly interested in talking about judgment and apocalyptic imagery offered to us in the gospel reading. I just want to take verses 29 and 30. The parable that says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. It seems here we're being given an invitation to look for God's work in our lives. We find reassurance in the fruits that grow through his word and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It seems also we're being given an invitation to play our part in nurturing this harvest. Each of us has been granted gifts by God, which can in some way contribute to his plan and move us towards the fulfillment of his promises. Later in Advent, we'll hear more of Mary's pregnancy and the vital role she played in ensuring the fulfillment of God's plan. In Luke 1, verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. I made a promise of sorts a few months ago when Bridget was planning the sermon rota to speak to you today. Of course, Bridget and Sarah, they're not such cruel taskmasters that they would have made me stand up here in the strains of pregnancy if I'd decided to change my mind, which I nearly did. But I quite deliberately made this promise. I made it to myself and I made it to God to keep focus on my faith despite the many distractions that were inevitably coming over the few months to leading up to this baby. When I keep God close through discipline, through promises like attending church and prayer and preparing to speak today, my faith is strengthened and I'm just doing my best to keep God and his glory and his promises as part of my everyday life. I wonder how in Advent all of us might continue to keep those promises in mind, might continue to think about our role in the fulfillment of those promises. Maybe reading the Advent reflection book, maybe attending Wednesday prayer, or a new service in the Advent season that you've not been to before. Jesus' birth reminds us that God keeps his promises. His promises continue to shape our lives. They're lived out through us. They are a vital humanitarian issue. Acts of love, compassion, and commitment. I pray that in this Advent season, we can see the fruits of his promise and nurture them in our daily lives. I want to finish with a prayer that I've taken from the post-communion prayer, which is something I learned about this week. O Lord our God, as we remember your promise to us, help us to keep our promises to you. Make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he appears, he may not find us sleeping in apathy, but active in his service and joyful in his praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.